From WXXI News, this is Connections. I'm Evan Dawson. Our connection this hour was made just a couple of weeks ago when controversy bubbled up in the town of Pittsford over proposed housing policy. First, here's the broad outline. Pittsford is the wealthiest community in Monroe County, and it's expensive to live there for the most part. As a result, it is a very wealthy and very white town. Some of the town leaders have disagreed over what to do next in regards to housing policy. Now, as some town leaders have pointed out, the town of Pittsford is part of a long list of municipalities that allowed and promoted segregation in decades past. Houses built, for example, between 1923 and 1950 had deed and covenant restrictions that prohibited land and houses from being sold or rented to African Americans. Put all of that together, and the town of Pittsford is now only 2% African American. The town supervisor, Bill Smith, proposed a change that would offer incentives for more affordable housing for people age 55 and older. Town board member Kevin Beckford had a different idea, and Beckford called it a path to, quote, help shift the momentum of segregation our town has been on for years, end quote. Beckford proposed a change that would eventually alter zoning law by focusing on housing stock that would be affordable for incomes starting at $53,000 and between $53,000 and $93,000. Now, you might wonder, why not go for something that allows for truly affordable housing for everyone? After all, Beckford's proposal still does exclude people and families of color in Monroe County who are below that income threshold, and that's most families of color. Beckford has explained that initially he wanted the bottom income number to be $40,000, but he was warned that the town board wouldn't go for it. So he compromised, hoping to slowly move the needle, adding that it's not a perfect plan, doesn't go far enough, but it would be a start. A recent public hearing was packed, and it was emotional. Many residents showed up to support Beckford's proposal. Still many more argued that it was against the character of Pittsford. This has become a story that is not just about Pittsford, by the way. It's about desegregation. It's about housing policy, what is truly affordable and accessible in our towns and in our neighborhoods. And there's an election in Pittsford coming up for supervisor and for some of the town board seats. We invited candidates from both parties to discuss housing, segregation, town policy, and more. For years, I can say that Pittsford Town Supervisor Bill Smith has been one of the most accessible elected leaders, going back to his town, his time on the county legislature. But he has not responded to multiple requests for an interview on today's show. I hope that's because he's in the midst of a busy re-election campaign and simply has not gotten around to it. But we do hope to hear from him in the future. We also did not hear back from Anthony Daniele, who is running for town board. Smith and Daniele are both Republicans. As a result, today we have two Democrats joining us. Kendra Evans is running for Pittsford Town Supervisor. Kevin Beckford is a member of the town board. He's in the middle of a four-year term, here to explain more about this housing debate. Kendra Evans, candidate for Pittsford Town Supervisor, welcome to you. Thank you for being here.
Thank you, Evan.
And also with us is Kevin Beckford. Welcome back to you. Thanks for being here.
Thank you, Evan.
As a matter of explanation, in Pittsford, town board seats run 4 years, and the supervisor seat is a two-year term. Bill Smith running for re-election. Kendra Evans is the challenger here. Now, we will talk this hour about what Kendra would like to do if she's elected supervisor. I will say, I know you know Bill Smith well. You're mentioning you saw him. You see him at public events all the time.
We were at a meeting this morning, Bill, Anthony, and I.
You would have been willing to come on alongside him on this program.
Of course, and I will in the future if he agrees before the election, after the election. Absolutely.
Okay, very good. I appreciate that. And Kevin, I know you know the town leadership well. I tried as best I could to kind of set the frame. Why don't you tell me how you see the housing issue? We'll start in broad terms, and then we will get a little more granular and talk about what's happening there that has sparked so much debate.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, Evan. And thank you for the opportunity to be here today. And probably I'd like to preface what I'm going to say with the fact that even though certainly the way this is evolved, it comes packaged around party. And I want to make it really clear to the community and to all of our Pittsford residents that this has nothing to do with party. It has everything to do with equity and access. And we have a statement that is in our new comprehensive plan that was just voted on that includes a section around inclusivity, and that in Pittsford we strive and aspire to be a town that's more welcoming, inclusive, and diverse for all who walk, live, work, and learn in Pittsford. And so there's 100% agreement on that. The challenge is, how do we get there? And being on the town board the last 18 months, I've gotten a chance to really get a sense of how towns operate, the importance of zoning laws. And what really, I would say, evolved my thinking around this issue was a book by called The Color of Law by Richard Rothstein. and he's come to Rochester a few times.
He's been on this program, yeah.
Absolutely. And I got to be honest with you, you know, I didn't grow up here in this country. I spent 18 years in the Caribbean. I've lived here now for about 30 plus years. So I've been here quite a while. But I actually did not go through some of the things that you learn in high school here. So I'm assuming that folks learned a little bit about segregation in high school. And, you know, and so I was surprised to find out that the segregation that we see in Monroe County and certainly elsewhere in the country, because I've lived in different states, was really not necessarily by de facto, but it was really by de jure or by design. And it was really accomplished through essentially a layering of support for segregating America as opposed to bringing us together at the federal level, state, and municipal level. So the question I had for myself was that how are we playing a role in that? Is some of the things that you cited at the beginning of the call, show here, that when I saw that we were 2% African American, I thought we have got something has got to be behind how that happened, besides what we see today. And after not much sort of inspection and talking to folks and that book certainly, and then this is a really powerful sort of tool was segregatedbydesign.com. It gives a 17-minute Cliff Note version of that book, and it really outlined how this happened. And so it was really clear when we start looking at deed and covenant restrictions, one good example for us here in Pittsburgh is just the whole neighborhood just outside Oak Hill Country Club. In fact, the very house that my wife grew up in, down the street, the house her father grew up in, had deed and covenant restrictions that would have prevented any person of color, any African American from living, occupying, or even renting, or just being there. And so how does that affect us today? What it does is that the new face of segregation is not those covenant and deed restrictions. It's not signs that say white only. It's not mortgages that are not backed by the FHA. What it is that you build homes and neighborhoods that are out of reach of African Americans. And so here in Monroe County, you know, the average household income for African Americans is $29,000 plus or minus $1,500. Average income in Monroe County is about $53,000. And so there's certainly a median income means that, you know, certainly that means that there are folks that are above and below that. So therefore, as much as I had to compromise by coming in at $53,000, I was comforted by the fact that I would start to turn the tide away from 2% to something greater than. And my hope is that with any change, when you start doing that, it takes people away from a place of fear and really from a place of realizing that we are all brothers and sisters. We can save each other life if we have the same, you know, if we want to give each other a kidney or a heart. So, you know, we'll welcome that. But we need to also welcome ourselves living and playing and being together as you know, community and family members.
And so what happened to that proposal, Kevin?
So the proposal was, you know, again, we did have, you know, two of the five votes were yes. But what was really important was that not only did we have a packed room where standing room only, we reached capacity, we had to turn a number of people away because people wanted to come and speak on this issue. About 50% of the people that got up to speak were supportive of it, and probably another 30% that even though they initially said, we didn't support it. Their argument was that I'm living in one of those homes right now and I have diversity in my street. And I thought, that's great. I just want more of those homes because right now we've been exclusively building homes on the high end where the entry level is, you know, well over 150 plus to 200,000. And so we're not adding to the housing stock that would allow for young people, young families, seniors on a fixed income, and of course, more diversity of people in that income range.
So I want to get Kendra's take in a moment here, but just to kind of close the loop on what happened, you got two yes votes, but it was defeated.
It was defeated, yes.
It was defeated 3-2. And when you look at average home values in Pittsburgh, the median household income in Pittsburgh is just over $108,000. The median for Monroe County is just over $55,000. So Pittsburgh's median household income is almost twice the county average. And then the median home value in Pittsburgh is $275,000. The median home value for Monroe County is $155,000. So pushing two times that. So you don't have a whole lot of room left, right? I mean, yes. My understanding is in Pittsburgh, the decisions that are made next really matter because this is not, I'm not an expert in what's going on in land, but I think of Penfield as like this never-ending tracts of land. And we love you, Penfield. I'm just thinking out loud here. But this is not that. You're limited. Is that right?
So this why this is so important, and the reason why I want to start out by saying this is not a partisan issue is because most of us, and I say most, don't agree with segregation. We want diversity. We value it. In Pittsford right now, we have 10,000 homes. We have only space that's approved for building that may be another 900 to 1,000 homes. So if we get this wrong in this master plan, which lasts 10 years, we can literally essentially say that Pittsford will be segregated forever, because if it's at 2% today and we continue building these homes that are 500,000 more, that 2% will drop to zero.
Okay, so this is where I think it's my job to at least challenge the merits then, because if you've got 10,000 homes now, space for another 900 to 1,000 or so, that means that if you build out those 1,000, 91% are already spoken for. You're in a town that's 91% done, even if you build out the remaining space.
Right.
That means that with that remaining space, if you truly want to desegregate, you've got to do it now or it's kind of never, as you say.
Correct.
And you say you don't want to build homes that are out of reach for African Americans or families of color, but your proposal still is out of reach for most families of color.
Yeah, and I have to say that's probably the most difficult part about this is because, and I usually say this to folks when we're looking at driving a creative solution, if I had a magic wand, it would not be 53, it would be lower, for the very reason you just mentioned. But when you only have two of the three votes on a board, you have to try to figure out how do you entice. I just needed one of the three folks to join me in this. And so that was a compromise that was very difficult, I'll be honest with you. But I thought that was our best chance to get it, and it did not succeed.
Okay. Kendra, I want to ask you, first of all, as a candidate for town supervisor, obviously you followed all of this closely. You supported this proposal?
I did. I think, for those that don't know, a comprehensive plan is really the aspirational document.
Sure.
It's going to guide the town. And then as we move forward into our zoning updates, this is kind of a blueprint, might be a good way to characterize it. Following this closely, I want to say what a win this is, even though it may not feel that way at this moment. I mean, housing insecurity, housing equity is a conversation we need to be having countywide. And this is a conversation that we're having in Pittsford, which doesn't always have the countywide reputation for caring about these issues, for acting on these issues. And I want to say I saw a lot of neighbors who were caring and involved and engaged in what was going on. As Kevin said, it was standing room only that night. It's something that matters to the people of Pittsford. And what's really happening now is we're willing to have a conversation on what are our values, what are our shared values, and what is the common ground that we can all find. So I think that's the first thing that I'd like to say about where we're going with this. In terms of moving forward with the housing of the future, when we look, as I'm running for office, I've knocked over 2,000 doors in the last, 300 days or less, right? Obviously not that long. And people care about our community, our community of Pittsford and our greater Monroe County community. And so I think this conversation is one of access. We're talking about the seniors who want to stay in our community, those that raised their children, built their lives, built their friendships, they want a place to stay. We're talking about young families who also want to be able to buy into our community. And we're talking about the single parents. We're talking about adults with disabilities. This is about access on so many levels, and this is not a bipartisan issue. It shouldn't be. This is a conversation, and I think the fact that our town is now having that conversation is really pushing the needle forward.
In a moment, I'll do my best to sort of piece together what the current town supervisor, who's running for re-election and did not answer calls to come on this program today, Bill Smith, said about this. But Kevin, I mean, I'm not someone who has spent months analyzing housing policy and data, but to the best of our knowledge here, if your proposal had been accepted, and this goes into the aspirational plan, and it becomes a blueprint, 53K to 93K, and those 1,000 units, 1,000 homes are built, what's the demographic makeup that you expect to see out of that 1,000 in the 53 to 93K range?
So before I answer directly, I give you a little bit of context too as well. The current zoning laws is what gives you that estimate of 900 to 1,000. So that's typically single-family homes mm-hmm. on half an acre. So as Kendra just shared, that this essentially is an aspirational statement to say, here's what we're committed to doing. And essentially, it's an extension of our inclusivity statement. And to say that if we believe that, here's how we do it. That means that what will happen from there will be meetings with developers, zoning attorneys, the town citizens to say, well, how does this look? What eventually will change will be the density zoning laws today that really is based on single-family homes. So you imagine, you know, if you've gone into a complex that has condos, townhomes, apartments. In fact, the Wood Creek in Pittsford is an example. It has all of three of those four instruments. The one that's missing is a patio homes. So they have townhomes, they have condos, they have apartments. But I also want patio homes. The reason being is because you could have three generations in one neighborhood. So you literally would have young people in the apartment, then they move to the condo, to the townhome, and then to the patio home when they decide to downsize. And so I believe that that 900 more than likely could be a little bit more than that as we come up with a good plan. So today it's 2% African-American. It's a huge estimate just because until we have an actual plan, it's hard to decipher. Not to mention, people have to want to move to Pittsford, right? And also, we also have to make sure that, you know, as they're applying with other folks. And so there's no way to really, govern what would happen, but by at least making the access available and also making sure that the community knows, and this is huge, that we want to be and we are want to be more welcoming. Because, you know, it's one thing to say that, you know, you want access to be there, but you also have to be welcoming. And that's a part that troubles me a bit. But I would say it would be easy to see 2, 3, 4 times maybe that 2% very easily and maybe even more. A lot of it would be depends on once we start putting these programs together and there's some affordability associated with it, then people will start to think about choosing Pittsford as an option. And, you know, if it's one thing I want to make sure the community knows, the folks that are being somewhat not supportive of being more welcoming in this area, I really do believe that they're in the minority. I think the majority of Pittsford and other people I speak to, they want to be more connected to the broader community.
Okay. Kendra, you want to add to that?
Well, I wanted to say that while we're focusing on housing right now, this is a very comprehensive, complex problem in that it has to deal with forms of transportation. How are we going to support people once they're here? And I think there's just so many facets. I just wanted to bring that up in terms of we as town leadership really need to be thinking about how all of these things are interwoven in every project that we take.
Okay.
Forward.
Now, realistically, Kevin, if you say 2% African-American now in the town of Pittsford and a new set of housing that comes in the future under your proposal could be 2, 3, 4 times plus that, that still would be a 90% white development, wouldn't it?
Yes. And again, the tough thing is that, in fact, this is a great question because I know online, social media can be effective, but it also can take on a tone that's quite honestly not very civil. And for those people who know me, I just can't do that. I'm always coming from a place of love and listening to, you know, divergent views. And so one of the things online that said, you know, this is a desegregation plan, it isn't. I can't turn back the time of years and years of what's been done. And in fact, what you said earlier is important. I chose those words properly. To change the momentum of segregation that we're currently on. And so as with anything that is this huge, this well thought out, this well organized, what we're going to do is at least to say, if we look at the housing stock we have today, if we're only building for folks on the high end, which excludes African Americans that have been disenfranchised for such a long time and still are struggling. I mean, the income disparity that I mentioned earlier is tied to that. And that's the work we have to do in the business world, right, to fix that so that there's a level playing field. But we're exacerbating that by making sure we build homes that are far out, not a little bit, far out of reach, so that it will stay segregated forever. And so to me, this is an honest attempt to say, let's build housing stock that it's in an income range that includes more of America, which includes more of African Americans. So it won't be perfect, but it's a step in that direction. Quite frankly, better ideas may come. I mean, right now, that's a starting point. What if we come up with ideas that are even better? And I would be open to that.
So is it fair to say you don't look at this as a plan that would solve segregation, would be desegregation, but it's a piece, and that it would be even more effective if we've got broader nationwide economic policy that leads to more economic prosperity for people at all backgrounds?
In fact, I'll take it a step further. I'm hoping, you know, Pittsburgh's first in a lot of areas, right? I want us to be first. In fact, my last negotiating session with Bill Smith, where right before the board meeting, It was probably, I have a good working relationship with him. We don't agree on certainly some things, but there's a lot, there's no partisan pothole, right? There's just a pothole that needs to be filled. So there's a lot we agree on. But when it comes to these equity issues, diversity, inclusivity issues is where we have our toughest conversations. And so one of the things I said to him is that, you know, what do you need to be able to support this amendment? Mm-hmm. Because your amendment, I understand and I see value in it. In fact, it's embedded within mine, you know, to provide housing for senior citizens on a fixed income. Your amendment is for folks that are senior citizens that can afford a $500,000 home. I believe that's too exclusive. I want us to be more inclusive. And so what do you need? And there wasn't anything. And I said, well, it bothers me the fact that we have 2% African-American that live here today, because that's a direct result of segregationist policies that started before you and I got here. But now that we're here, I believe we're mandated to fix it. And his belief was, he says, I don't believe it's our role to fix it. He says, I don't believe we should socially engineer diversity. I said, but Bill, we socially engineered segregation. So not doing anything is not an action. We have to actually have policies that go in the opposite direction.
Now, let me state the obvious here. The supervisor's not here.
Yes.
I've never known Kevin not to be trustworthy in relating a conversation as he recalls it, but I'm looking forward to having a chance to talk to Bill Smith and other leaders, particularly Republican town leaders who are running right now or currently serving, to kind of talk about how they view that. Because I can understand at least intellectually the point Bill's making. I also understand the point Kevin's making, which is if we created this division, then do we have a role in bringing the walls of that division down?
Actually, I have one thing that may be helpful because I your last statement I totally agree with, but this will help. Or not our last board meeting, the one right before this, the one that was actually aired on television. 1 hour and 12 minutes into our board meeting, you will actually hear Bill Smith openly sharing that last statement I mentioned, along with Matthew Connor, where they said, we don't believe in socially engineering diversity.
Yeah. So Kendra Evans, who's running for Pittsford Town Supervisor, let me read some of what I have been able to gather that kind of speaks to where the supervisor may be and the Republican platform in a couple of ways here. First of all, when it comes to the affordability and who can access Pittsford, here is what Bill Smith told reporters, including, and I pulled this directly from 13 WHAM, but there's been a number of different sources that reported on this. He essentially said Pittsford's always going to cost more. And he said, quote, Pittsford affordability is always going to be higher than affordability any place in the surrounding area. And the reason is because Pittsford is such a great place to live. People are willing to pay a premium to live here. Smith said that there are other more affordable options nearby in places like Henrietta, East Rochester, and Brighton. And he concluded, quote, there's affordable housing very close to us where people can live nearby and still participate in our public events, enjoy our parks, and enjoy our trails, end quote. Do you agree with the supervisor that when people can live nearby, if it's not within the boundaries of Pittsford, they can live close, they can live in Henrietta, and they can still come and enjoy the trails, that is the way of the world right now? And that's in the supervisor's mind, it sounds like he thinks that's good enough because Pittsford has high standards and is going to be more expensive.
I have a couple things to say.
Sure.
I think the first would be, do I welcome our neighbors from Brighton and Henrietta and everywhere else to come work, play, and learn in Pittsford? 100%. Do I think it's good enough to say that residents who live here and need to downsize or are dealing with economic downturns, that they should move, that we're not going to take care of them? I do not agree with that statement. There have been a few other things that have come out in various platforms and publications about, if you don't want to move out of Pittsford, don't let Pittsford move out from under you. And those kinds of comments are divisive. And I think my second point would be, this is a humanitarian issue. It's not partisan, and we're all neighbors here. So this concept of weaponizing the word affordable, we're talking about our parents. We're talking about our children coming back from college. We're talking about, as I said before, the senior, the single parents and people with disabilities that we need to take care of. So weaponizing the word affordable, it's given a value judgment, and that's not the purpose. And so I believe that leadership's job is to find what we have in common. It's about finding that common ground and having civil discourse and conversations about it. And those are some of my biggest complaints at this point. We don't turn people away. You welcome them to the conversation.
All right. So what you just referenced, let me go ahead and quote what Kendra just referenced. What Kendra was quoting from is the actual Republican platform. And Bill Smith is running for re-election as supervisor, but also Anthony Danielli and Kate Munzinger are running for Republican town board. You can mention, by the way, who's the Democrats running for town board if you want, because I just mentioned the Republicans.
I would very much love to run to mention my running mate. So John Walsh is an engineer and operations manager. He's hoping to serve on town board and brings a lens of environmentalism and connectivity. And he's really working to promote the social, economic, and environmental health of our community. And my other running mate is Kathy Kashikar. She's a corporate lawyer with a wealth of experience who knows how to do contracts, negotiations. We are such a great team of neighbors who are looking to represent the interests of the town. And before you go any further, the other thing I just wanted to say is we did a town survey recently, right, as a way to solicit input from the community. And we, John, Kathy, and I really care about listening, representing our neighbors' interests, and bringing that forward. And in the town survey, less than 7% of the respondents wanted large single-family homes. That's not where we see our future going. That we have enough of that, we need to make other considerations. So if we're running together to represent the town, to listen to the town, we need to listen to our neighbors and everything that we're putting forward. So I just wanted to put
okay.
that out there.
Well, here is directly from the Republican platform. They write, quote, "We are committed to maintaining the character of Pittsford, the Pittsford we chose to live in, the place we chose for our children to grow up, the place we chose to retire. We chose a unique community of quality. Our candidates plan to keep it. If you don't want to move out of Pittsford, don't let Pittsford move out from under you," end quote. Now, a listener named Seth, who lives in Pittsford, emailed me, got that in a letter, and said he thought that was coded, or at the very least, he found it offensive, the implications of it. Sounds like the Republicans are just saying, hey, we think things are going well, and we want to keep that. Do you find any coding there, any messages that are unspoken but ringing in your ears there?
I think that what I want to characterize is the concept that we can keep what we love about our community, right? We've chosen to raise our families here. We've chosen for this to be the place that our kids call home when they come back in 15, 20 years, and where they might raise their own children. But that's not mutually exclusive with being welcoming and inclusive. And we are a community that cares. We are a great community of leaders in multiple fields. As Kevin said, it's time to be a leader in this one. This fear-mongering is a page out of the national playbook and has no business among neighbors in a local election. But yet, when you read a letter like that...
You think that's fear-mongering?
If you don't want to move out from... Yes, I do think that's fear-mongering. I think we're scaring, and I do not believe in pitting neighbors against each other. I believe that neighbors can respectfully have differences of opinion, and what you do is you bring them together and you find the common ground so that we can all move forward. That's not what I'm hearing in that letter.
Okay, Kevin Beckford is a member of the town board. When the supervisor says, look, there's other communities nearby, they have more affordable housing, they can come enjoy our parks, but we don't want to change the character of why we all want to be here. How does that ring in your ears?
So I'll share with you what I shared in the actual meeting, because when he said that, in fact, as he was sharing that message, I'm looking at, 80 plus people sitting, residents sitting in the board meeting, and literally almost to a person, they lifted their mouth open, they lifted up their hand, and they had a look of disgust on their face. And so, certainly as a board member, and just me in general, I generally try to sort of stay pretty even so it's really clear on my message. And my response to that was, I find that offensive. The fact that when we talk about the character of Pittsford, for me, that includes everyone and includes a level of inclusivity and welcomeness and belonging that should never, ever be mutually exclusive from the things that he had shared. And so, one of the things that I would say that to the letter you mentioned, a very crisp yes, that's fear-mongering. And what's interesting is that the letter that they sent out, I 100% believe, is the words of and the message of the current leaders, not of the people of Pittsford. And this is so important because there's two sides to this. It's one thing to say there's a welcome door to come in. There also has to be an interest to come in. So I want the community to know that, those words that you just heard, they do not reflect the best of us in of the thoughts around welcomeness in Pittsford. I believe there's a lot of people, regardless of party, regardless of affiliation, that believe that being welcoming is important.
Well, in many ways, Kendra, this election will kind of tell a story about how the town feels about that statement, I would think, wouldn't it?
Well, I think we've had a number of examples. You've had Kevin and I on a few times, because when racists have come into our community and tried to be divisive, we as a community had stood together to say this is not who we stand for. And that current still exists. I believe that we are a caring, compassionate, talented group of individuals. What we're talking about is the best way to move forward with these things. And why are we not couching this in a positive conversation around solutions, as opposed to dividing different groups based on race, based on age, based on socioeconomic status? There's a lot of conflation of terms that is not necessary. It looks like the national playbook, as I said before. That's not how you lead if you want to bring a community together and have solutions and move us all forward.
And by the way, Kendra Evans, who is running for Pittsford Town Supervisor, challenging the incumbent Bill Smith, who was invited on this program and didn't respond to multiple requests for this conversation today, but we hope that we can talk to Bill in the future. He has always been very accessible in his many years in government. People know him pretty well. What's the short capsule on your background if you're introducing yourself to voters?
I think this is a very personal issue for me, because I grew up the daughter of a steel worker and a stay-at-home mom, and Dad lost his job when I was younger. So I am the recipient of the free lunch. I am the working poor. I am someone that would have benefited from this kind of housing when I was young. I'm the first person in my extended family to go to college. I went to the University of Chicago, went on to get a master's degree. These are all firsts for my extended family. I'm a teacher. I'm now a small business owner, and I work as a program manager at RIT. I specifically serve students who are on the autism spectrum. And what I do is I help them talk about their strengths and advocate for themselves. And I go to employers and I help them see the talent that's been left on the table. And one of the greatest skills I bring is the ability to bring people together, to let them see their differences, but more importantly, the common ground that they have and how we can all work together for innovation, to improve the bottom line, for our shared common goals. So I think what's most important is to hear that I have all of the skills, right? As a business owner, I understand strategic planning and budgeting, and I'm certainly very attuned to great customer service, which is what you're looking for from your town government. We have great services in Pittsford. It's one of the things that makes us a town that's desirable to live in. These are all skills that I have. The difference is that I'm not a career politician. I'm a neighbor, and I'm out listening to neighbors. And what I hear are people who are looking for solutions. They're looking to make our community welcoming. They're looking for ways for us to be stronger and better and greener than we are today. And that's a big part of why I'm here with you.
We got a lot of feedback that I'd like to read after our only break of the hour. So let's get that only break right now. Short break, and right back to much of the feedback from the community as we talk to Kendra Evans and Kevin Beckford about what's going on in Pittsford. Coming up in our second hour, there are more than 2 million people in this country who are arts graduates. They've got a degree in art. And of the 2 million plus, only about 10% actually make their primary living as working artists. Why is that? Is an arts degree a good or a bad investment? And is Rochester an art city? We talk about all that and more next hour. This is Connections. I'm Evan Dawson. Pittsford has an election day coming up. Well, we all do. We're voting in November. And in Pittsford, they're electing the next supervisor. The current supervisor, Bill Smith, is running for re-election. He was invited on this program and did not respond in this particular case. Kendra Evans is his challenger, who's running for Pittsford Town Supervisor, and she's here. Kevin Beckford is a member of the Pittsford Town Board, talking about the recent housing debate that caused some controversy. Here's some feedback from listeners, starting with Rick, who says, Evan, I applaud the efforts being made by your guests to address the issue of segregation in Pittsford. I especially appreciate your guests' acknowledgement of having learned from Rothstein's book, The Color of Law. Given the problem in the Pittsford Central School District, which was surfaced about a year ago, I think it will be important to think about how to prepare current residents to be good neighbors to new neighbors who are persons of color and persons who are from a lower income bracket. So I think a first good step is being taken, and as the saying goes, it is necessary but not sufficient. That's from Rick, and Kevin Beckford has said as much. He didn't think this was the be-all, end-all, but thought it might be the best he could do. Well, his proposal lost 3-2, and here's Kristen, who says, I'm appreciating this discussion that Evan Dawson is having. Really highlights the reality that Pittsford says one thing but votes another. The wonky compromise approach still failed. You can't compromise with ignorance at best and racism at worst. That's from Kristen. So let's hit that here. I don't have the benefit of having your fellow town board members or the town supervisor or the people on the Republican platform here to tell us why they oppose this. And some listeners might be getting this idea, Kevin, which may sound something like this. Well, my God, in Pittsford, your proposal for the next round of housing for people in the income range of $53,000 and $93,000, it is not like you were putting up an income 0 to 20. And people freaked out anyway, as if that was going to destroy the culture and the fabric of Pittsford, when it would have made it a little less white and a little less wealthy. That's kind of the... Now, I don't know if that's fair, but the cartoonish view that people like Kristen have listening to this going, well, why compromise at all if you're not going to win this? And their people are still going to freak out. So what did your fellow town board members tell you when they heard 53K to 93K? You tried to compromise, didn't work. What did they tell you?
Well, I think... The fundamental thing here, and I think this is important, is that the folks that oppose this, this amendment, and really it's really the concept of really moving away from a segregationist past and the momentum that we're on, I really believe they're in the minority. And the reason being is because even though certainly some feedback I've gotten has been fairly negative and threatening and, you know, a whole host of other things, the vast majority say this is good. And when we were running for office 2 years ago, we got a chance to knock on 4,000 doors. We have 10,000 homes between three candidates. And one of the things that we walked away from was a message that even the folks that were in a very wealthy, like subdivisions where their homes were $500,000 and above, when they answered the door, they said, you know, if there's one thing you can fix for me, is I'd like more diversity here, because we moved here. Most of them moved here from other states. And I said, and my kids are growing up feeling like African Americans don't exist. So it left an impression on me that I believe, I mean, think about that. 4,000 doors out of 10,000 between three candidates. I really believe this is not a partisan issue. Now, we didn't get a chance to knock on Republican doors because you can't do that when you're, you know. But so this is really not about party. I actually really believe, I honestly believe, that there's more people in Pittsford that support this, because this is about having an ecosystem in Pittsford that's more representative of America, period.
Okay, Kendra.
This is about access. This is about housing equity. These are conversations that we need across the board. I'd love to see if you could have Cheryl and Adam on to have the conversation as what this looks like countywide. So first, again, the fact that this conversation is happening in our suburb, it's probably not something that you might have anticipated to happen at this point in time. And there is a groundswell around the conversation. Things move forward when we talk about community education. I know in a minute, Kevin will talk about some of the other efforts that are going on around this. I've said before as well, this has to be a multi-prong approach. We have a multitude of conversations moving forward. If we don't incorporate transportation and welcoming and how this looks for our schools, there are lots of implications that we can't solve in the next 15 minutes of our program together. But there's lots of things to consider.
Well, you talk about being someone who facilitates common ground, right, Kendra? I mean, that's something that you highlighted.
Mm-hmm.
Kristen, who wrote to us earlier, follows up to say, Kendra actually sounds questionable to me right now. We have to make this positive and come together. But how do you compromise with those that don't want you there? That's from Kristen. She's essentially saying she doesn't really buy that you can compromise in some ways on certain issues like this.
I think there are certain issues that you don't compromise on. You don't compromise on human rights, but you can compromise on the policy that gets us to move forward, right? We need to talk about that. That's what local government can do. We can talk about zoning. We can talk about incentives. We can talk about limited amounts of factors that we have within our control. And the compromise comes from how are we talking about it? How are we representing ourselves as a welcoming community? That's what I'm talking about, not the underlying humanitarian issues, because that's not a partisan thing. We are all human, and that doesn't matter if you are Republican, Democrat, or any other flavor in between and on either end of that. What we compromise on is what the policy is going to look like and the best path forward together. And when you're not willing to work with your colleagues in government, in business, right, that's another one of those prongs we have to talk about. Then nothing gets done and you maintain the status quo. And I don't hear anybody that wants to simply maintain the status quo.
All right, I'm going to try to move as fast as we can for the rest of the hour. We've got a ton of feedback. This is in Pittsford. This is Bob. Go ahead, Bob.
Hi,
Bob. Yeah,
can
go ahead.
Can you hear me?
I can. Go ahead, sir.
So I was just curious. One thing I didn't think had been addressed. I was born and raised in Pittsford. And I'm apolitical, so. But at any rate, what about the tax base? Because Pittsford school taxes are enormous, and a lower income family, especially with the SALT tax thing going away federally, I'm just curious what your take on that is. That's all I had to ask.
Yeah, Bob, it's a good question. Thank you, Bob. So what he's saying is, even if you can get a successful housing policy through, our tax is going to make it prohibited for a lot of families.
So that's a great question. So here's the answer to that. Take one of the communities we have right now, that is, the homes actually start out at $500,000. One of those projects, I think we have three or four houses in there, and it's going to take probably 6 to 7 years to finish. So we've actually paved the roads. We're actually cleaning and taking care of those roads, and we're only collecting taxes on 2, 3, or 4 of what will be hopefully be 80 or 90 homes. It's because the income range for those folks, there's not enough of them in our community. Fast forward to the future here, aspirationally. If we have a neighborhood like Wood Creek, I'll give you an example. Today, when a house goes up in Wood Creek, whether it be a condo, townhome, or apartment, it's gone within a day. What that tells you is that when you hear the notion that says, oh, how will this support the schools? What folks don't realize is the fact that when you have more housing that's more affordable, they not only are filled up, they generally is, you know, that means you're actually getting more tax for the same half acre or acre of land, because you're not dealing with one house per half acre, you may have two. So it's actually, it's more reasonable taxes, so the folks in those homes will be able to afford it. So it's actually good for us tax-wise, because right now, in fact, we had an environmental board meeting just this week, and we were talking about the fact that we have neighbors that were actually doing snow removal and doing all the care associated with it, but we're only collecting taxes on, you know, 20% of the homes because the rest aren't built yet.
Okay.
I think... It was a great outpouring at that town meeting last week when we heard happy residents talking about their moderately priced homes and how there's multi-generational and how there's constant turnover and these are in high demand. I mean, we talk about the desirability of Pittsford and how we're always going to cost more because we're so desirable. I think it's really important to talk about the market forces, and people want more on that, you know, the lower end of the bell curve in terms of moderately priced houses, for all the reasons that I've said 14 times and those kinds of things. And when you mentioned the SALT deduction, right, the state and local tax deduction, for certain people who have perhaps bought a larger house because they were counting on those things, thanks to our national government, we no longer have that. We are going to be facing a crisis, would be my concern. We're already seeing the softening of house prices at that end. And if we're not preparing for that right now, we're doing a disservice. This is one of those examples where status quo and talking about how all these big houses are fine, that's not what the people wanted in the survey. That's not what market demand shows us in Pittsford. And that's simply not preparing us for the weather ahead.
Don says, have your guests heard any counter arguments to this housing proposal that they would not consider racist?
Well, you know, I think, you know, and I don't use the term racist lightly because it's a very charged word, but I believe that the path that we're on today is tied to the segregationist sort of origins that we're coming from. So, you know, as we talked about earlier in the show, you know, deed restrictions, covenant restrictions, is taken on a new form. And it's about zoning laws.
So do you think all the opposition to your proposal is race-based?
I believe it's fear-based, actually. I would use fear, not racist. And I'll tell you why. because there's a fear of, because we are segregated, what it means is that we're not getting a natural sort of connection with the America, right? And so therefore, there are folks that, you know, that, you know, don't have, you know, barbecues and just good old fashioned connecting with neighbors that look differently than them. And so therefore, how do they find out about folks, right? You know,
so it's, it's fear of difference.
I believe it is. I believe that's probably more so than racism,
and
in my opinion.
I also think that it's a lack of understanding. I bristle. This concept of it's got to be racist. Anytime that word gets thrown around, people put up their defensive guards and it diffuses any ability for us to have an actual conversation. I think it is critical for us to start talking about what we have in common and what we're looking for as our goals. We need to be solutions-based, not dividing one segment of our population from the other, whether it's for race, et cetera, moving forward. And that's why these conversations are so critical.
Okay, I hear that. But here's a listener, Ben, who is an ardent progressive, who says, there's nothing desirable about Pittsford that isn't available elsewhere. This Pittsford is so desirable line is just code for white is more desirable, and Pittsford has a lot of whiteness. So the lesson here, don't compromise with racists. What does the failure of their compromise tell them? Half-step compromises are problematic because you're already throwing away the key goals of your movement. Kevin?
I think that, so that's a tough one. And as I shared earlier, probably the toughest decision I had to make was, if we have an opportunity without having the majority position on the board to make a huge step, and I say huge step, this is not small, in terms of housing that's more affordable. So let me tell you the reason why I believe that Pittsford's changed. In the 18 months that I've been on the board, here's what we've been able to do. We issued the first proclamation celebrating the life and legacy of Martin Luther King. That had never been done in Pittsford before. And all it took was just someone asking the question. It happened to be me. And so the answer was yes. We then had a cross-functional team of citizens that got together in 2018. And in 2019, we had a week of events, 4 days, celebrating the life and legacy of Martin Luther King with well over 500 people that attended those events. The very next month, I went back to the board to say, now that I've proven the concept, can we adopt this as a formal program starting in 2020? The answer is yes, 100% approval. I held a symposium as a community to talk about diversity, equity, inclusion, and I put together a panel discussion with folks from, you know, the business, spirituality, medicine, education, and they were able to, and we had standing room only from people from across the line because I made sure it wasn't partisan by putting Bill Smith on the board to say, I want anybody that supports you to come to know that this is a community discussion, standing room only at a church in the middle of the village of Pittsford. We had another one that I put together around age in place, and that's where we got information on how people are struggling in sustaining in your town.
So you're seeing the steps that you believe are progress.
I believe all of those foundational steps tells me that Pittsford has changed. The leaders and their belief right now are the ones that actually have not changed.
So Kendra Evans running for Pittsford Town Supervisor. Obviously a lot of talk about housing and the future of policy in that regard. What else is on your radar if you are elected? What are the priorities going to be?
Well, there are a number of them, so I'll go as quickly as I can with that. I think it's really of critical importance that we prioritize the environment moving forward. So regardless of what these zoning laws look like, all of our future development needs to move forward with environmentally responsible and sustainable practices. I think we have to talk about infrastructure in our town because this is another example of status quo building. We have the same road repair. We have the same antiquated technologies. We have the same lack of programming that brings generations together, that engages our college students. We have a lot of progress to make in terms of the physical, social, and IT infrastructure in our town. I think one thing that I definitely want to do, if you want to ask what like the first thing is that I want to do in office, I want to thank the town employees that do all of the things that make us love to live there, right? Our libraries, our services, all of those things. There's a lot of rumors going around that Kendra wants to get elected to make big changes to cut things. And I guess what I want to say to you is that the only thing I want to cut is the supervisor salary moving forward. Did you know that the supervisor of Pittsford is the highest paid supervisor in Monroe County?
What's the salary?
North of 130, more than Cheryl Denolfo, our current county executive, and more than 15 governors in our country.
What should it be?
So what I'm going to tell you is that it's not my job to tell you what it should be. That's for a panel, a salary panel, to evaluate what it should be. What I would do off the gates was to put forth a motion to reduce it by 10% and to turn that into a community enrichment grant, which, again, would bring more people in. It would put the money back into the community out of the supervisor's pocket and back to taxpayers. So there's a wealth of things that I'd love to talk about. And one more opportunity is that tomorrow there's a candidate forum. So these are things that we will all be on stage. And Anthony and Bill and Kate have agreed to that particular forum. So all of us can talk about our ideas together.
Yeah, I mean, as we close the hour here, let me just state that as we head toward the election, you're going to hear interviews with different candidates. You've been hearing them on Connections. It is always the goal to bring people together. We're not going to have a voice of the voter debate, it looks like, between the county executive candidates, because the Denalfo campaign agreed to one debate, and it's going to be on a different network. They're not going to do multiple. So we're going to try to bring them here together if we can. We can only control so much, and we try to be as fair and direct as we can with everybody. So, unfortunately, didn't have Bill Smith and other Republican leaders running for office in Pittsford, but that door will remain open, and we respect them and hope that we can do that in the future. In the meantime, Kendra Evans, 10 seconds, what website? Where do you want people online to learn more about you? Go.
KendraForPittsford.com.
Thank you for being here.
Thank you,
Kevin Beckford. We'll talk to you real briefly here. Don't worry, Kevin's going, I've got more. I'll put it on our various platforms, and more Connections coming up next.